Oh, the times, they are a-changing. At least that's what a lot of people say. But are they really? In the realm of technology, that is certainly so. Things are changing at a tremendous pace. Just this past week, I was reading an article that an astronaut in the space station needed a wrench to make a necessary repair, but he didn't have this wrench on board. So they emailed a wrench to him. I said to myself, how in the world could that be? You can't email wrenches. Well, I continued reading the article, and it was fascinating. They were able to use 3D technology on the ground to draw a wrench, took the drawing in 3D, emailed that to the space station, and the astronaut that was up there was able, by the use of a very special printer, to print this thing out in three dimensions. Now, it didn't print it out with ink on paper. It printed it out with some synthetic fiber or plastic or something. But nonetheless, it printed out a solid object to the exact dimensions that was needed to make the necessary repairs. I said to myself, my, that is fantastic. Think of all the uses, practical uses, that this technology could serve mankind. So I took up the challenge. I sat down. I began to think, how could this thing be used? How specifically might I be able to use it? So I went to my computer, got out a drawing program, and as best as I could in 3D, I drew a stack of $100 bills and then emailed them to myself.
Didn't work. I've asked Carol for a new printer for Christmas. Times, they are changing. Consequently, I hear a lot of people, especially grandparents, I probably said it myself, say something to the effect of, well, I'm glad I don't have to bring up children in a day and age like this because the times are changing and it's not for the better. I began to think about that and I asked myself the question, are times really changing? Well, they are, but have they ever been this way before? And I started thinking about the very time that the Lord Jesus Christ was born. Did a little research as to what the conditions of the land were, and I want to share for just a couple of moments what was going on back there. First, politically, Rome had conquered the entire civilized world. The empire was vast geographically, and it was impossible for the Roman government from Rome to keep peace and order in all the world. So they would appoint governors for the various provinces. And in order to get a governor's position, you had to have some favor with the Caesar. Well, how do you get favor with the Caesar? Possibly it would be military abilities that you had or political abilities of leadership that you had. But more than likely, you ingratiated yourself with the Caesar by pulling out the wallet and handing him a few bills. There was a lot of corruption in government, and I said to myself, boy, I'm glad we don't have to deal with that today. Much. And consequently, a man by the name of Herod the Great was appointed to be governor over the land of Judea. Herod, believe it or not, was in many ways a very gifted administrator. He had one fatal problem, though. Couldn't care at all for the people he governed. In fact, practically, he hated them. Anything that he would do for the benefit of the people, in reality, was only in the benefit of him and keeping him in office. And I said to myself, that sounds a lot like our government today. It wasn't the greatest of times politically. Morally, it was bad. Because of the Pax Romana, the Peace of Rome, commerce was able to flourish, and because commerce flourished, consequently, people were generally able to live a very good lifestyle. There was a certain amount of affluence in those day and ages, and with that came all kinds of vices. The historian Tacitus said the motto of the age was to corrupt and to be corrupted. And in two areas particularly, the moral laxity really manifested itself. First of all, in the marriage relationships. Here today, gone tomorrow. Marriage partners changed weekly sometimes. This really didn't matter. There was no commitment. And along with that, then the second thing was children. If an unwanted child came along, they just set the child out by itself and it basically starved or was overtaken by the elements or whatever the case may be, but they just, for all practical purposes, killed their children. And I said, well, we've gotten a lot more sophisticated today. We just don't wait until they're born anymore to do the same thing. Morally, it was a corrupt society. And then religiously, two specific groups were controlling the Jews in the land. The first was the Pharisees. The Pharisees were, well, I'll call them traditionalists. They were somewhat orthodox. Still had a respect for the Word of God, but their worship of God had really diminished into ritualism. They were going through the motions. Their heart, well, wasn't in it. In fact, the Lord Jesus would say to them, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. You've gone through the motions of worship. You show up at the church or the synagogue or the temple or wherever it may be, but you just go through the motions and there's nothing to it. There's no real belief. The other were the Sadducees. Now, the Sadducees were a little bit more animated than the Pharisees. Problem is, the Sadducees, well, they didn't accept most of the Word of God. They only believed the parts that they felt comfortable with. And I said to myself, you know what? Spiritually speaking, the times back then are basically no different than our society today. A lot of people are going through the motions. I don't want to bring any burdens upon anyone here. Yes, I do. What am I saying? I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to do that. There are a lot of people that show up Christmas Eve. That's all there is to it. Well, we've done our duty for the year. See you next Christmas. Going through the motions. And then there are some that when you come to various places in the Scripture where you're just not comfortable, they're convicting. Let's not believe that anymore. The times really are not changing. And yet in the midst of the terrible times back then, there was one young girl, morally pure. One young man who had a heart for the authority of God in his life. Their names were Mary and Joseph. And they came together as husband and wife. And miraculously, through Mary, they brought a child into this world by the name of Jesus, who literally turned the world upside down. How could they do that? I mean, the society in which they were living was just as terrible as the world in which we live today. Yet here's a woman who remained morally pure and a guy who had a respect and an appreciation for the authority of God in his life and lived a righteous life. How could they do that? There was also, in that day and age, a messianic expectation. There was amongst many people the idea that soon God would be sending Israel its Messiah. And not only Israel's Messiah, but a Savior of the whole world. For many, the Israel's Messiah was just a political figure to rid them of Roman tyranny. For some, it was a religious figure who get rid of all the do's and the don'ts of the Pharisees. For some, it was just a moral teacher who would teach them how to live rightly. But for Mary and Joseph, that Messiah would be the very Son of God. And consequently, this Son of God coming into the world caused them to order their lives faithfully in obedience to God. You know what? If they could do that back then, that same messianic spirit of an anticipation of the coming of the Lord could do the same for us today. And let's face it, Jesus said in John chapter 14, if I go away, I will come again. Do you realize Jesus Christ is coming again? He could come tonight. He could come tomorrow. He could come 2015. He could come a millennium from now. I don't know when He is coming. But I do know this. He is coming. And if we would be like Mary and Joseph, we would be prepared, looking for His coming. And our lives would be changed. And maybe by our changed lives, the lives of the people of our day and age might be changed also. The Apostle Paul said, for the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world or this present age, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's coming again! Back then, He gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity, purifying unto Himself a peculiar, a unique people, zealous of works that are righteous in the sight of God. A world that would live like it's supposed to. You see, the messianic expectation motivated them. But the grace of God enabled them. It would be great tonight to say, look, Jesus is coming again, and everybody would go, oh, that's great! I got to get my life in order. How am I going to do that? Well, I'll just do a little self-reformation here. I'll turn over a new leaf. I've got news for you. The other side of the leaf is just as bad as the first one. You see, all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. Turn them over all you want. They're dirty on the underside. What you need is a clean garment to stand before God. And that only comes by the grace of God. That Savior that came into the world through the womb of Mary, in His earthly ministry, healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, caused the lame to walk, the deaf to hear. He exorcised the demons from those who were spiritually troubled. He even made the dead come back to life again. And as great as all that was, the most important thing that He ever did was to take our sins upon Himself and on a cross of Calvary die, because the wages of sin is death. And there He paid sin's penalty for you and I. He paid it in full. Oh, come all ye faithful. You see, that merit of Christ dying on your behalf is only valuable to you if you accept it by faith, if you receive Him as Savior. And may I tell you that of all the Christmas presents will be the greatest one you ever receive. Jesus Christ is coming again. That should really, 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 really motivate our lives tonight for us who know Christ the Savior, that maybe we might even turn this world just a little back to its right moorings. But if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ the Savior, you need to get your life right first. And I invite you to ask Jesus into your heart tonight, trusting in His blood that was shed on the cross for you, that you might have eternal life.